This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan. And joining us right now is the senior pastor, St. Luke Community UMC. He is Richie Butler. Richie, how you doing, buddy?
Chris, man, I can't complain. How are you doing, my friend?
Great. Happy New Year's. It's 2026 already. Here we go. We're off to the races. And just like always, you stay busy. First of all, I know your hands are full with all kinds of Project Unity stuff. But in the month of January, yes, we're also celebrating the holiday of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and all of the different events celebrating his legacy. You're a big part of the North Texas African American Pastors Coalition. Can you tell us some of the things you guys have going on and what in particular we need to get the word out about?
Yes, thank you, Chris. I appreciate your time and your friendship and partnership. So the AAPC, the African American Pastors Coalition, has been around for nearly 30 years. Some stalwarts in our community, Zan mm-hmm. Holmes to E.K. Bailey, were some of the founders. Freddie Haynes, who's been active. Mm-hmm. The organization's been on a little hiatus because of COVID. You know, I think it put everybody at a standstill. But we're back and on King Holiday, that Monday,
the 19th,
we will celebrate annual the 19th. We will celebrate annual Martin Luther King worship service because we believe because he was a pastor, he was a preacher, a minister, that we want to, you know, celebrating that tradition. You know, if you think about most of his speeches, I mean, you can call them speeches, but they really were sermons.
Right. The great Zan Holmes. Yes.
Yes. And so we definitely want to celebrate Dr. King. And so we will be hosting a worship service at 11:30 at Concord Church in Southern Dallas. And so we're excited and want the community to come out and be part of the worship experience. And we also have a renowned preacher and I think a prophetic voice of our time, and that is Reverend Dr. Jamal Bryant out of Atlanta will be the guest speaker. So, and you know, he speaks truth to power as Dr. King did. So we're excited to have him as a guest preacher.
He's actually from, for those who don't know, he's actually from the hometown of Dr. Martin Luther King, Atlanta, Georgia, the ALT.
Yeah, went to Morehouse
ATL.
As well. So
The whole nine yards.
Jamal is he's a Morehouse grad as well. So that tradition will be in full effect, and you know, just sort of carrying the mantle of what Dr. King did, fighting for justice and social and human rights, and making this community better for all.
Is there anything going on with St. Luke in particular that you want to bring up yourself? Because I know it's a Sunday. And Sundays can be a full day for especially all the pastors, but let alone the people in the congregation. Anything with St. Luke this month that you want to make sure that those who attend need to know about?
I appreciate you allowing me to throw in that plug.
Yeah.
You know, we are going deeper at our church. We think this year requires us to go deeper with God. And so we're kicking off a time of consecration for 21 days, asking people to, you know, fast and pray, because that's one way in which, you know, we go deeper. And I'm trying to remind people and encourage people that you do not want to allow yourself to get, you know, overwhelmed, you know, by all the intake of information. You know, we mm-hmm. live by our phone. And we don't want that to sort of dominate who we are and what we are about. And so we definitely want to encourage people. And one of the things I said, don't reel your life away. Think about that, Chris. That's a statement and a message I want to encourage all people. Do not reel your life away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've heard don't throw your life away. I think many of us are reeling, R-E-E-L. We watch, yes. We live by reels.
Yes, all on social media.
I don't want people to reel their life away. So all they do is spend their time, you know, on looking at reels.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not about purpose. That does not advance, you know, prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
And so I mm-hmm. want to encourage people to get focused on what really matters.
Exactly. I'm glad you said reels. And for those who don't know reels, you're talking about TikToks, all those little videos that people consume on social media. And you don't want that to dominate your life, because you'll reduce human interaction. You'll lose out on meeting people and knowing different things about different people, or let alone your own family.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and so we've and I think we all can, if we monitored, we'd be surprised, you know, how many, not just minutes, but could add up into hours.
Oh,
we are allowing to, you know, reels to dominate, and it can take over. And so we want to get people, in the words of Howard Thurman, to center down and turn inward and to be, you know, more contemplative.
I think you're onto something, because in all seriousness, there are more people who spend time alone, either on a tablet, on a cell phone, or on, you know, whatever it is, this not real human interaction, and they only know what they know from a reel or a TikTok or however they consume their social media, and that's just an information bubble. That's not necessarily reality. And we're not saying give it all up. We're just saying balance it.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. You sound like you could preach a sermon, Chris.
Oh, my goodness. I've been talking about this on this show for a little while, about how, you know, there are things that are affecting the world today, and it's because people are not interacting like they used to. And I think part of it happened, as you mentioned before, about the pandemic. It changed a lot of people's lives. Some people weren't able to make that pivot, but then others, they say, you know what? I'm getting along just fine virtually. It's like, no, you're not. You're missing out.
You're not going out to restaurants.
You're not going to the park. You're not going to church. You're not involving yourself with real people. And therefore your life is actually being influenced by non-real things, you know, non-reality, virtual stuff. And some of it's not real information at all. It's just stuff to get, you know, what they
it's
call
artificial.
It.
Yeah.
It's artificial. And it just gets you excited, like dopamine, you know. It's like, okay, tech companies know how to get you excited or make you happy, sad, you know, just they know how to manipulate a little bit. So you got to get to real people, you know, and kind of balance that stuff
And you're right. And we're made for that. I mean, we need that human interaction.
Yes.
That connectivity. We need it as a part of our survival. And I believe so many of us, and I don't think we recognize the fact that we've lost it, or some have lost mm-hmm. it, and don't mm-hmm. know a way to get back to it. And so definitely want to help people get back to this place of being in relationship with each other.
Yeah, I hear you. We're talking to the great Pastor Richie Butler, and this actually leads naturally into your nonprofit, Project Unity, which is all about people getting together and doing great things. And what do you say? What unites us is greater than what divides us? Isn't that one of the philosophies?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. What unites us is greater than what divides us. And we believe, you know, we're just committed to being a solution to, you know, our our community problems. So you think of the problem, you know, and you know, some problems like race relations to police community relations, mm-hmm. just getting people to engage each other in different ways. You know, I believe political civility is a problem. I mean, or mm-hmm. or the lack of civility is
the
a
lack
problem.
Of civility.
And
yeah.
So we want to lean into those problems and try to bring about solutions. We are about trying to find ways in which to make our community better. And I want to be, you know, straightforward. You know, sometimes, you know, we can talk about stuff and we can talk about the problem all day long, but if we're not, you know, focused on what is a solution, what is a way forward to address the problem, then, you know, we really just become a talking head, and we have plenty of talking heads. We need, you know, rooted, grounded, committed, collaborative efforts that bring about solutions to problems.
That's right. What do you say? Measurable impact, creating the change that we all look forward to. And part of that is, like we said, you got to engage and interact with people. And there's a variety of ways to do it. You can do it, like I said, online, but you can also do it face-to-face. And this is with people that maybe you know, some people you think you know, and then you find out more about them, and you find out, guess what? You got a lot in common. Isn't this like the 10th year, 2026?
No, 2014 we started, so this is going into our 12th year.
Time flies, my goodness. Yes.
Yes,
the
yes.
12th year.
Yeah, it does.
And it's been major progress every step of the way, right?
Yes, yes. So, you know, every year we've grown, you know, we're reaching more people annually through our Together We Dine program, as an example, where we just bring people together to have courageous conversations. You mm-hmm. name the topic, you lean into it. We started out principally focused on race relations. We still have those conversations, but again, it has evolved. You know, like today we are, you know, leaning into civility, political civility conversations. Because let's be honest, I mean, today, you know, getting a person who has an R and another person who has a D next to their names, it is hard to get them to have a conversation. I mean, we have demonized, you know, those who are, you know, of a different political philosophy or ideology. And the truth of the matter is, you know, we're all in the same boat. we're all in the same house, if you will. We all occupy the same space, and we can't figure out how to work together, how to overcome, you know, our political differences. Then, you know, I hate to put it in these terms, and Dr. King said this, you know, then we will perish as fools. And so, because mm-hmm. an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth leaves both of us toothless and blind. And so we've got to, you know, create opportunities and spaces where, you know, authentic, genuine conversation that leads us to, you know, relationships, that leads us to understanding, that leads us to spaces of empathy, that leads us to working together, that I believe ultimately leads us to finding solutions to solving our community problems.
Well, you're exactly right. And it starts with a conversation, because literally you can't talk past each other. You can't say, I got a one-liner I can throw out there. How about that?
Yeah.
No, you got to be able to talk to each other. Like you said, civilly, you got to be able to listen to each other and say, wow, I didn't know that. And not be defensive and say, I'm supposed to know that? No, it's like, guess what? Yeah. New information opens your mind. That's how we learn with new information. So I like the entire concept. And you mentioned Together We Dine. You have a lot of Together We programs. And this year, I'm sure there's a lot of different things that people can participate in, including, I think, one of the signature programs is Together We Sing.
Yes, yes. In June, our concert is back June 17th at the Meyerson Symphony Center. We're looking forward to that concert. We have our Unity Choir, mm-hmm. And it will be another Grammy Award-winning artist that we will either celebrate or have featured as a part of the concert. And if you've never attended the concert, it is, well, think about the power of music in our lives,
yes.
Individually and mm-hmm. in our society collectively. and leveraging the role that the gospel music and classical music coming together to forge this musical symphonic underpinning that really highlights and leverages the concept, the idea of us coming together. And so it will just be another magical night. You know, we started this in 2019, and we continue to every year. The question is, how can it get better? And each year it gets better, and people come back and wanting more. And so we're just excited for Together We Sing. And as a part of Together We Sing, you know, we have a master class. So we bring high school students mm-hmm. who are in the orchestra space. And most of these students are from disadvantaged communities. And we have a whole population of students that are part of the foster care system. So they get a chance to interact with some of the top musicians, composers, conductors, and it is a life-transforming experience for those students to spend an entire day with that cast of stalwarts in the music industry, and then to bear witness to the concert. It really is. It's an eye-opening and just a powerful moment for students who are just part of the experience as well.
Yes, it's an amazing thing for everybody that's involved, because there are some people who's like, well, you know, I've never.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Been to a symphony center, and there's the Mort Meyerson Center downtown Dallas. It is spectacular, acoustically correct. And some people say, you know what? I've never really been interested in classical music or orchestra music. And then they go because they love gospel. There are some people who go because, you know, I go to Mort Meyerson all the time, but I don't ever get to see the gospel programs or the tributes to like Quincy Jones. And you're like, oh, my goodness, they mash it all up together. And it's a collab. And it's just absolutely amazing. And you always have a nice presentation. You get out on time where it's not like late at night. It's like late afternoon or early evening. And it's just a win-win-win all the way around. And it's also a win-win all the way around for people who like to their organization to be a part of it some kind of way. You know, they say, you know what?
Yeah.
My staff would love to see something like this. Or I got people I work with. We can come together as a group or different churches can show up, right?
Yes, yes, yes. And that's what we do. So, you know, we have a number of corporate partners. You know, this is an opportunity for, you know, their ERG groups to, you know, an event for them to come together and just go have a good time and enjoy great music and to feel the sense of unity. Yes. There's also volunteer opportunities for those who want to, you know, serve and be part of helping to, you know, make the concert, the masterclass a reality. So there are a number of ways for folk to get involved. And we're so grateful to our partners over the years for helping us make this night such a magical and unifying experience.
Yes, there's so many different ways people could come together. That's just one. Project Unity's also has the Together We Ball, which is about basketball, bringing people together, and it's pastors, and sometimes it's junior pastors, and police officers, law enforcement, or even first responders.
Yeah.
And they all take part in a basketball game together. It's not pastors versus police. They have a draft, and the different guys play on the different squads, and you have some real coaches there. And it's a really great event. It's been at SMU, and it's been at Paul Quinn, and the crowds go wild. Can you talk a little bit about Together We Ball and how you came up with that concept as well? Because I think out of a tragedy, you brought some ways of people come together.
Yeah. So you know, one of the things, and it goes back to really 2014, whether it was Michael Brown, you know, we saw a divided community
St. Louis,
nationally.
Yeah.
We recognized protests. And one of the things we realize is, you know, when I'm in need, I'm calling 911 and I want the police to show up, but I also want the police to treat me fairly. And so how do we sort of bridge those divides? One is by us being in the same space with each other and in the same space, not in a time of crisis, because oftentimes when we interact with law enforcement, something has gone wrong. Either I've done something wrong or I'm calling them because I'm in need. But how do we foster spaces of calm, opportunities for us, not in a crisis, but just out of fun? And one of the powerful things about sports is that it brings people together.
Yes.
You know, we get behind our sports teams. You go to a sporting event, you may not know the person next to you, but you will high five, you will hug them, you will, you know, cheer together behind your sports team. Sports has that powerful galvanizing ability. And so we wanted to leverage, you know, basketball as a way to bring our community and law enforcement, you know, together and using the game of basketball, you know, as that vehicle. And it has worked, you know, it's evolved beyond just, you know, pastors. We have community leaders, business leaders who play in the game. And it's not just the Dallas Police Department. That was our original partner. But now we have, you know, the Sheriff's Department on the county side. We have DART. We have DISD. We have federal, you know, agents, representatives that also play in the game. So it is a diverse group of law enforcement that participate as well. And again, you know, seeing each other, you know, as who we are, humans. So, you know, humanizing each other.
Exactly.
And I think that's a perfect start that allows us to foster and build relationships with each other.
And there's also activities for the kids and the families on the concourse levels, face painting, balloons, all kinds of things. It's kind of like a festival as well, not just the basketball game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we actually have a skills and drills camp for elementary and middle school students. And, you know, that's in the morning. And SMU's been a tremendous host, and the women's and men's basketball team actually facilitate and put on that skills and drills clinic. So then we have a high school exhibition game where we bring, you know, top talent from around the North Texas community to play. And then it leads up to the game with the police community leaders and pastors playing each other. So it's a, I mean, it's a day full of fun and community building.
It really is. And there's some other little side things that happen as well, like tours of the campus and the student buildings and whatnot. So in other words, some of the kids get a chance to see what a college life would be like. I mean, so it's, these are environments that they don't normally get. And it's just a win-win-win all the way around. And that's just, like I said, we together we dine, together we ball, together we sing. Let's touch on together we learn, because there's another one. I mean, again, this together, Project Unity stuff, it's the real deal.
Yes, yes, yes. So, yeah, together we learn. Again, all of our programs came as a result of us wanting to solve a community problem.
Mm-hmm.
Together we ball was the relational response to police community relations.
Mm-hmm.
Together we learn is the educational response to police community relations.
Right.
What to do when stopped by police, and not me telling my son, but actually having instruction directly from law enforcement, because it does a couple of things. One, it does establish and build some rapport relationship, because we're in a space of calm, not crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also there's a whole educational component where, you know, you quote unquote have a classroom component, but then we actually do a simulation where we put students in a car. And they simulate being pulled over by the police, and law enforcement walk them through what that interaction and what they should do and what they should not do when they are pulled over by the police. So if you do X, it gives the office, it indicates Y to the officer. So don't do X. You do Y, you do Z, because
mm-hmm.
that is what, you know, should be done. And so it just reaffirms that everybody wants to go home safely from a traffic stop.
Exactly.
And we have far too many incidents where that is not the case. And so just striving to educate, and, you know, and our program has been so successful, Together We Learn, that State Senator Royce West introduced in 2017 Senate Bill 30 that became a law here in the state of Texas. So
yes.
So our program is now transformed into a law that requires all high school students to be trained on what to do when stopped by the police.
I mean, it's outstanding. It should have been also part of whenever you get a driver's license, that you should know what to do, how to interact with police. And again, it's about what both sides expect. And it's about being civil as opposed to being fearful or whatever else others may be thinking in their brains when you get pulled over. So I love the fact that together we learn, you know, taught by the police. The officers are excited to work with the young kids and the teenagers and share their knowledge of engaging each other in situations where, you know, the vehicle's been pulled over for whatever the reason. And so they get to, like you said, practice under those situations, just like you would if you're learning how to drive a car. You might be with the parent of the driving school and you're in the parking lot somewhere, or you're learning how to parallel park. This is part of the program for a lot of places, right?
Yeah, yeah. And you know, and as you just made that point, Chris, because at some point the driving instructor is not going to be in the car with you.
Right.
You got to make those decisions. And so, and at some point you're going to be in the car, you're going to get pulled over. And I've been driving for 40 years now, probably. And every time, you know, that siren or that light goes off and I'm getting pulled over, I get nervous.
Yeah. Cause you never know. You don't know what's going on.
You know, you just, yeah. So if you have been trained and have that knowledge, then there's you're equipped to respond in a different way and manner. And then also, you know, the law enforcement representatives that are helping to provide instruction, I think it gives them a chance to meet, you know, a different population of students and mm-hmm. individuals that they may not interact with. And again, helping them to humanize the people that they are serving.
Exactly. It goes back to interaction. It goes back to just civilly engaging each other and learning more about each other and on different levels. And so this program, I think you guys have been going all over the state with this, right?
No, we've principally been focused here in North Texas.
Okay, North Texas.
Mm-hmm. Been all, yeah, but But we are in 26. We will be expanding and growing. We're anticipating we're going to double the people that we reach through the Together We Learn in 26 and in 27. So we're excited about that opportunity. I will add, Together We Dine, that is expanding, and we've been doing some stuff around the state, but we're going to grow that. And especially our civility dines, I just want to, you know, quickly point this out. You know, we hosted a dine last year at University of Texas, and then we hosted one at Texas A&M around political civility, and it went so very well. Students were enthused and had a hunger for this, because it's really an exercise in listening. We're not trying to debate each other, mm-hmm. trying to talk over each other.
Right.
Just trying to make sure you hear my point. No, I want to listen to you, and I need you to listen to me, and we listen to each other, and to help us better appreciate and understand from what perspective and point of view each of us is coming from. So it is not a debate. It is really an exercise in listening, and we do not do a good job of that. And so our ultimate goal is we want to be hosting Together We Dines at colleges and universities all over the state of Texas, just to get students to listen to each other.
Exactly. And you say listen to each other. You guys are so strong with this. You got the Listen and Learn speaker series, and that's a virtual thing where you can hear someone else's story, learn about someone else's situation, walk in their shoes, engage in constructive dialogue and activities to improve community relations wherever you are. And I like the fact that you guys are doing this, because you guys have been able to do this not only all over the country in different spots, but sometimes on different places around the world, right?
Yes. So
my goodness.
We have partners that invite us to come in and facilitate conversations with their teams in India and mm-hmm. South America and parts of Europe. And some of the challenges that we face here in the United States are different than those in a place like India. And so, you know, our facilitators go through some training to understand, you know, what are some of the cultural norms and things mm-hmm. that we should do or should not do, just in the way of facilitating. And Chris, you know, we take this for granted, but, you know, in some cultures, you know, you're supposed to, you know, when you greet someone, you actually, you know, sort of cheek each other, if you will.
Right.
And if you don't do that, it's a sign of insult.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know that, you know, you could be insulting someone and not know that you're insulting them. And so, you know, part of this is us understanding, you know, our differences. It's what we call, you know, cultural intelligence. We want to be intelligent, not just about our own culture, but about others, that other people we interact with and people we may not even know. But at some point you may run in the world's population continues to grow, but it's still a small world.
It really is.
And we just want to value and respect and honor each other.
Exactly. And basically understand each other. And that's what I love about Project yeah. Unity. It's all about trying to understand each other and making the world a better place. Is there anything we need to mention before I let you get out of here? Because I appreciate the time, because like I said, you stay so busy. You're my guy, Richie. You know how much I admire you over all these years we've been friends.
I appreciate you, Chris, and I admire you. Yeah, we've known each other since what, my college football days at SMU.
Yeah.
So, I appreciate you. I would just say 2026 this year is next level for the work that we're doing at Project Unity. So mm-hmm. I'm excited mm-hmm. about, you know, always elevating and moving things to the next level. And these are, I think, socially are challenging times, because we truly are, you know, divided in so many ways, but we're going to show up every day and reinforce and affirm and create opportunity and a platform and a space for people who believe that what unites us is greater than what divides us, and they want to lean into something we want them to lean into work that we're doing at Project Unity, because there's a space for everybody at Project Unity.
Exactly. And I'm looking forward to doing some more work with you guys this coming year. And more importantly, that the world is coming to Dallas-Fort Worth, North Texas, with the World Cup. And there's probably some little things I'm not going to give it away right now, but there's some projects you're working on. I think that's going to be very, very impressive for a lot of people around here with the World Cup coming through as well. We'll get into that a little next time, right?
Yeah. We will.
All right, Richie. Thanks for joining us, and Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year to you, my friend. Thank you for having us.
Our next guest is no stranger to podcasts and radio and any kind of interview. She is a legend in her own self, but she's also a great representative for the Cowboys of Color Rodeo, our good friend, Miss Liz Lawless. How you doing, Liz?
Oh, I'm doing great, Chris. Thanks so much for having me.
Yes, and Happy New Year. This interview's airing in the very first part of the year, of course. And I know there's some things to talk about in 2026 for the Cowboys of Color Rodeo, but we've got to go back a couple of months. And I'm smiling when I say this because we lost a legend. I'm smiling because he's smiling down on us. I'm talking about rodeo great, the legendary Hall of Famer, Cleo Hearn, who created the Cowboys of Color Rodeo. He passed away, and his service, and thank you again for inviting me to the service. I would not have missed that for anything. His service was phenomenal, Liz. Can you talk about the service just a little bit? And I'm going to chime in as well, because it wasn't a sad occasion. It was a wonderful occasion. There might have been some tears, but they were tears of joy.
Right. I think so. You know, obviously, we lost two great legends. Kevin Woodson, our rodeo announcer, died at 69 a couple months before Cleo. That was really a shock to us. I mean, Cleo has been struggling for a couple of years, but he had great care. But the funeral was, I mean, it was just outstanding. People from all over. I mean, all his friends, longtime friends, Bud Bramwell, who he put on the New York Rodeo in Harlem with and rode up down the road with in the late 50s, early 60s. He was there. Marvell Rogers, who was Cleo's hero, his son was there. They all drove in from Oklahoma. So people just all over. And I really have to thank the media, too, because y'all been just fabulous to want to tell his story. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But, yeah, the service, full house, standing room only. Really nice. The Texas Parks and Wildlife Buffalo Soldier Program, they were basically the honor guard to bring in that history, because, as you know, Cleo's whole thing was, let us educate you while we entertain you.
And yeah,
all the wonderful things that Blacks, Hispanics, Native Americans, women, even Europeans did for the settling of the American West that most people don't know. You know, if you're not in the lifestyle, you don't know a lot of these wonderful people. So, that's been his goal. It was his goal for 50 years, and it was a great send off. I mean, all the pastors were great, but man, the young man that did the service that said, "Ride on, cowboy," and had all of us on our feet, ride on. You know, it was just a wonderful experience, I think, for everybody. And luckily today we have video coverage. So we have that for, you know, Cleo's got grandkids. Mm-hmm. He's got great kids. He has three great-great-granddaughters, and even though they won't know him personally, they'll be able to know him through the videos and the photographs and the interviews that y'all have done for us over the years. So we're, you know, although we're very sad, you can't be too sad, because he lived his life just like he wanted to.
He sure did. It was amazing. That, like I said, back to the funeral itself, it was really not even the word funeral doesn't do it justice. And it was a beautiful day. You had so many people in there with the cowboy hats on. And, you know, in Texas, you can have your gun. I never saw so many guns. I felt like I was in a Wild West movie. It was that spectacular. You mentioned the Buffalo Soldiers as the honor guards, and they were rotating in between the different speakers. And like I said, family and friend, and it was such a nice occasion. Like I said, the place was packed, parking lot was packed. I was looking for some horses. I was looking for. There were so many cowboys that were there. I was like, are there horses? Did they ride up on some horses in the back of the church? It was absolutely amazing and fascinating. And again, what I loved about the pastor, he I mean, everybody told some different stories about Cleo's life. And yeah. And his sons, they told some stories too. But the pastor, he was talking about what Cleo did. And then he said, like, towards the end of the service, he was talking about, the pastor was talking about himself. He was a younger guy. And he was saying that his grandfather had like 10 brothers and sisters or whatever, and there was only two of them left. And whenever he'd go visit his uncle was always watching one of three TV shows. He's either watching Bonanza, or he was watching The Rifleman, or he was watching Daniel Boone. It was one of those three. He was naming all these shows, and he said to his uncle, he said, "So you've been watching these shows for years and years and years, and I know you've seen every episode at least 10 or 20 times. Why do you watch these shows so much?" And he said, "Son, uncle," he said, "nephew, you know, the cowboy always has a good fight. The cowboy always wins the fight. And then the cowboy always rides off into the sunset." And everybody at the same time said, "Rides off into the sunset." And he said, "That's where Cleo is right now. He's looking down in heaven because he rode off into the sunset." I mean, everybody went nuts. I was like, this is so good.
Yeah. And it was so nice. You know, even the funeral home, all dressed in beautiful green jackets and black boots, black hats. And they were all wore cowboy hats, all of the funeral attendees and the ushers and all of that. And, you know, obviously in addition to the family and then the boys and a couple of the cousins and the grandson, you know, were the pallbearers, mm-hmm. and they were all dressed. And Harlan did a great job too. You know, I was a little worried if he'd be able to get through, but you know, he's a champ like his dad. He's a chip off the old block, and he's taken that leadership role that his dad used to have. And, you know, Cleo took it 50 years, and now the boys are going to take it for the next 50. So,
yeah, let me mention this, what Harlan said before you go any further, because one of the things Harlan said, and it tied in, the pastor grabbed it from there. Harlan said, "When I was a little boy, my daddy, Cleo, told me that God wanted me to be a cowboy, and that's why he was a cowboy." And I'm telling you, that was powerful. And then the pastor took it to the next level, because Cleo with the Cowboys of Color rodeo and trying to be a cowboy and raise his family, he's like David and Goliath. It was just really, really moving. I just thought it was an exceptional funeral. I've been to a lot of different funerals, but I've never been one that was that great. I mean, it was there might have been something to match it, but that was just great.
Yeah, I have to agree. You know, Kevin's service was wonderful too, but you know, Cleo's, it was just like you say, everybody was outstanding, you know, every bit of it, the music, you know, mm-hmm. it's wonderful.
Can you tell some of the things he's accomplished over the years? Because some people don't even know this, that he was part of the honor guard for President Kennedy.
Yeah, he really was. I mean, what happened originally, he was the first African-American to go to college on a rodeo scholarship, and he went 1 year at Oklahoma State, and they canceled the rodeo club because they wanted all of them to play football. And, you know, he didn't want to do that, so he quit, and it was the 60s, so he got drafted. So he went 61, then he got drafted in 62. Called his mother and said, "There's been some kind of mistake here from boot camp, you know." And she said, "Yeah, you made it. I told you to stay in school and you didn't." And so, but he was the last guy chosen. He doesn't know why. He doesn't know, you know, how in the world it happened. But you and I know because of his character and the other things that he was involved in before college. From the time he was 16, he started roping. But he got, he was the last guy assigned, and he was assigned to as one of the first 8 African-Americans to serve in the Presidential Honor Guard with Kennedy. And him and Kennedy had a very nice relationship. Let me tell one story. I'll tell two stories real quickly if
sure,
I can.
Take your time.
When Cleo first opened the door for Kennedy, he didn't know that he walked around the car and opened the door for Jacqueline. And so he stepped back, and then President Kennedy started to walk around, and Cleo stepped on his foot.
Oh, no.
And he said, "Oh, my God, I'm going to be court-martialed on my first day." You know,
oh, no.
Mortified, and, you know, he didn't know what to do, and he was just kind of frozen there, and Kennedy just kind of smiled and laughed, and he went on. And you know, and did his thing and opened the door for Jacqueline. But later on, every time he saw Cleo, he'd say, well, Hearn, you going to walk on your feet today or you going to walk on my feet? You know, always messing with him. And then later on, Kennedy would come and review the troops, just like you see on the TV. And mm-hmm. they'd walk down the aisle, all of the guys standing there in their uniforms and their blue dress. And then they would fold up the flag. Well, Kennedy had Cleo move to the end of the line so that he could stand there and talk to him while they were folding up the flag. Can you imagine? And so he was saying, hey, how'd that rodeo go this past weekend? Because Cleo rodeoed the whole time he was in the service when he was in D.C., except when he was at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. He said that was his greatest honor, really, in his life, even better than, you know, winning the National Calf Roping Championship in 1970, the first African-American. But there was just the sacredness of that space and that place and the men and women who have died for our freedom in this country. You know, he said he couldn't beat that experience. But he'd take, you know, 50 guys on a bus up to New Jersey. There was a Cowtown Coliseum up in New Jersey, and he'd go up there and rope on the weekends that they had off. When they had leave, you know, that he'd take a bunch of guys. So, and everybody knew, you know, that he was a cowboy because when he wasn't obviously in uniform, he was wearing his cowboy hat and his boots and his
On the East Coast. On the East Coast. He wasn't, you know, he's not down here in Texas or in Oklahoma. He's up there on the East Coast with a cowboy hat, and he's a rodeo. And like I said, he's on the honor card with President Kennedy. And then this is so wild. I want you to fill in the blanks on this too. So then he comes back to Texas, and he's actually working for Ford, and he's doing stuff with the Dallas Cowboys.
Right. Well, he actually came back to, he left 21 days before Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas, go back to school because he knew her. He honored his mother. He knew his mother. That was very important to her. She raised three boys by herself. His father basically kind of left the family when he was young. And so he came back and he went to Langston University again on a rodeo scholarship.
HBCU.
And that way he picked up the rodeo.
Mm-hmm.
And the Ford tractor, I actually saw him at a rodeo. They were looking for a black cowboy to do a commercial. And of course they saw Cleo and said, would you come and, you know, audition? And he did. And he got the job. And so he did this tractor commercial, but there was a guy standing over in the corner that was just kind of watching everything. And he came over later and said, well, you know, Mr. Hearn, you know, what else do you do besides rodeo? And he said, well, I just graduated from Langston University with a business degree. And the gentleman was a former military man, Army guy himself. And he said, would you like to join our management program? And he went to work for Ford Tractor, worked a couple of years, then moved over to Ford Motor Company in Dallas. I mean, the car part of the and truck part of this organization. And he actually started in Oklahoma. He had a territory in Oklahoma, and then he moved to Texas probably, you know, like you say, 50 years ago, I guess late 70s, early 80s, and had territories all over Texas. And he ended up as a zone manager in South Texas and worked for Ford for 33 years. It was the only job he ever had outside of rodeo. Was with Ford Motor Company. And he ended up, as you mentioned, Ford was one of the sponsors for the Dallas Cowboys in the early years when Tom Landry and the guys were playing, and they were playing in Irving. And Cleo would pick up the referees at the airport and take them to the hotel and then take them to the stadium. So a lot of times during the early games, you know, I guess what, through the 80s, 90s, the early 2000s, there was a black guy on the field with a cowboy hat on. That was Cleo.
That was Cleo. Over there with Tom Landry and Jimmy Johnson and Barry Switzer,
right. And so, you know, because he got to go down on the field because he was, you know, he was basically driving the referees.
Yeah,
around.
He's making sure the refs got around.
Right, and he finally retired. I guess Jerry and them wanted him to stay.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Too, and he worked for them for a few years over, but you know, then they wanted him to carry a gun because the fans got a little crazy and started telling stuff and doing other stuff, and they wanted him to carry a weapon. And he said, you know, I'm whatever, I'm 75 years old, I've never carried a weapon in my life, and I'm not gonna start now, you know.
Right, that sounds like Cleo.
Even though I'm a cowboy, you know, I'm a rodeo cowboy, and anyway, so he had great years there with the Dallas Cowboys, had wonderful years with Ford. Some of those years they were a sponsor for us because they'd already sponsored rodeo. And I would bet, Chris, that they were part of the reason when Cleo in the early years, in the early 60s, when late 50s, you know, Cleo wasn't able to rope at certain rodeos because of the color of his skin. But he had better times, and they made the mistake of posting the times, and people saw the times. They said, well, who's that Clint Hearn fellow? Why didn't we get to see him?
You know what it was? He was kind of like the Jackie Robinson of Robio.
Yeah, he actually was. You know, people say Murta Stoutman, because Murta Stoutman out of Houston, out of Crockett, Texas, was a bull rider, and he was probably the greatest bull rider that never got his due until recently. And all of the cowboys, white, black, Hispanic, would tell you Murtis had just a natural skill. But yeah, but Cleo was a calf roper, and he was the first African-American calf roper. He did start these rodeos, and all the other rodeos, Chris, that we have, Cleo, they wouldn't be there without Cleo.
Exactly.
The Bill Pickett Rodeo out of California, Lou Vasson saw a rodeo in Cheyenne and said, well, why aren't there black rodeos? And they said, there are. You need to talk to Mr. Black Rodeo, Cleo Hearn. Cleo got, you know, made a handshake deal with Lou for him to stay out of Texas and Oklahoma because that's Cleo's territory, and we had rodeos here.
You know what's amazing about it all? You know what's so amazing about it? Here's Cleo doing all this. He's multitasking. That's the phrase we've been using, 21st century. Multitasking, a gig economy. Everybody's got a couple of jobs. He's doing the rodeo, and he's working at Ford, and he's doing all these things while he's got a family, a wife and kids, and he was just stayed on the move. And like you said, rodeo, he's like all over the place doing the rodeos, all the different towns, in charge of getting the animals there, charge of making sure all the riders are there, all the different rodeo personnel there, the rodeo clowns are there. That was all because he had that business degree. That was all on his back.
Right, for sure. You know, and Cleo handled everything inside the rodeo. And I pretty much everything outside the rodeo. Mm-hmm. So that's why I set up the media interviews and I did the sponsorship.
Right.
That everything was delivered that was supposed to be delivered from the outside. But yeah, it was, you know, and the real
great partnership,
you know. So all of these other rodeos, they came out of Cleo being generous enough to help them get started. And so, you know, we 50 years, 55 years in, they're ready to take it for the next 50 years. You know, they all sit down. It's the most astonishing thing, Chris. I mean, I've never seen four brothers that get along as well as these guys do.
That's
certainly to their mother, Verna, because Cleo was on the road a lot. With, you know, Ford. He'd go out on Monday, go down to dealerships in South Texas, for instance, and sell cars to dealers, but then come back on Friday. But did rope. They spent 10 or 12 hours in the car or 24 hours in the car coming and going. And, you know, you have to talk to somebody if you're in the car with them that long. So he started when the boys were in their teen years, you know, when they got into high school, he took Harlan, you know, for a couple of years. And then Eldon got old enough. And then he took Eldon, and sometimes he took them by himself and sometimes he took them together. And then Robbie came along and then Wendell came along. And sometimes, you know, a couple of them would go together with Dad. And sometimes all four of them would go. And what do you think when five black guys got out of a truck in somewhere like Nebraska or Wyoming?
In a little town. In a little bitty town.
It's in little towns, these little rodeos.
Yep.
You know, professional rodeos, because they were all professional rodeo cowboys. They all did high school rodeo. A couple of them did college rodeo. And they all went to work. I worked for big, you know, Fortune 500 companies, kind of like their dad, because the rodeo was Cleo's hobby. Even though it was his love and it was his great love, you know, he considered Ford his work and rodeo his hobby and his love.
I'm going to say it was his hobby because he told me this a long time ago. He said because he wasn't going to guarantee to make a whole bunch of money. He was doing it because of the love of the sport of rodeo. And that's why he looked at it as a hobby, because I can't just assume I'm going to make a living off of this. I got a wife and some kids.
Right. And, you know, and in those early years, obviously he didn't. But over the years, he made a lot of money over the years. Mm-hmm. And he won buckles and he won hats and he won, you know, cash and he won boots. And, you know, sometimes you won money and a lot of times you just, you know, you just want whatever somebody, the sponsor, donated and stuff. And, you know, not to say it wasn't nice, because, you know, he did have a car to drive because of Ford, you know, and he had a Ford, you know, employee discount and all of that. So everybody, all the family drives a Ford and everybody he knows drives a Ford. And it was funny, one of the friends at the funeral that came to the funeral that was a friend, and Chris said, you know, I'm still driving a Ford because of Cleo, you know, and all my kids, both my kids drive a Ford too. My son and my daughter both drive a Ford, you know. And,
it's that's called the legacy right there. You know what, Liz, I gotta ask you about his Hall of Fame. And before I get to that, you know, I'm somewhat biased. Cleo, I'm gonna pull the curtain back. Cleo and my mother went to high school together in Oklahoma City. They went to high school together in Oklahoma City, and then Douglas High School. And then again, my mother was always telling me about Cleo. When I was down here in Dallas, right? And then got a chance to meet you, got a chance to meet Cleo and the family. And then for those who keep up with Texas Rangers baseball, I mentioned, you know, the sports connection with Cleo and the Dallas Cowboys with Texas Rangers. His grandson, Taylor, who was one of the pallbearers, he was starting pitcher for the Texas Rangers for a couple of years. And so I got a chance to visit with Taylor a little bit. And he could rope. I mean, it's the family.
Yeah, it's a family legacy for sure. You know, is Taylor roped all in the early years till he got up to about 15, 16, and he decided he wanted to go the baseball route instead. And a lot of things about Cleo, his dad actually played in the Negro Baseball League.
Yeah, the Negro Leagues.
Cleo's dad, Doc, played in the Negro Baseball Leagues. And so everybody expected him to play baseball. And they don't know where this rodeo thing came from, but it was the horses. Cleo fell in love with horses. Yep. He fell in love with Marvell Rogers, this black cowboy he met when he was 9. And he said, I want to be like him. And, you know, he had that ability to totally focus. I mean, it's discipline and devotion and determination. And he said, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to be the best in the world at that. He didn't expect to do rodeos. He never planned to be a rodeo producer. know that happened because same thing. Some people saw him at Madison Square Garden. Yep. They came and said, would you put on a rodeo in New Jersey? And he was like, I don't put on rodeos. And, you know, the thing they said to him, Chris, was, if it changed one kid's life, would you do it? You know, you can be the guy that brings this story, this forgotten history to the masses. You know, you could be that guy. And man, he said, all the way home on the plane, he just kept running through his mind and running through his mind. And like you say, he said, well, God, I guess you sent me here to be a cowboy for a reason. And he got here back to Texas and he said, guys, we got to go put on a rodeo in New York and Harlem for 10,000 kids. And so, Merce Dyckman, Bud Bramwell, Rufus Green Sr., you know, these guys that had been up and down the road together when they couldn't rope and when they got graded down because of the color of their skin, they put on this first rodeo in 71 in New Jersey. And they put a few others on. And then in 1985, Billy Allen and a couple of other guys, Dr. Laster from Dallas County Community College, they came to Cleo and said, would you put on a rodeo for the African American Museum? That became the annual rodeo. So we've been doing that rodeo for 40 years, except for a couple of years during COVID, as you know. That really kicked off his rodeo, you know, producing rodeos, because he did that for the African American Museum. And it went so well that they did it year after year after year. And like you say, still doing that rodeo today. That's our, you know, longest running continuous thing. And then we had the tour where we added Houston and San Antonio and Austin, Oklahoma City and Tulsa, Fort Worth. We've been for years. And then the stock show came in about 15 years ago and said, hey, we'd love for you to do.
That's right. Fort Worth.
A Cowboys of Color rodeo on Martin Luther King Day. So that'll be our next rodeo after the first of the year, January 19th. Afternoon rodeo at 2 o'clock at the Dickies Arena, the wonderful new Dickies Arena over there.
Yes, beautiful over there.
It's kind of like American Airlines over here. And so, and we hope to continue that. And I can tell you, they were a little worried, you know, when Cleo got his health started to deteriorate a little bit. They weren't sure, you know, if the boys were going to be able to take it on or not. And Harlan stepped up, made the speech, you know, the rah-rah speech to the Cowboys. You know, we're here. This is a special opportunity.
Look out.
This is a legacy. You know, we're not only our rodeo legacy, but the Martin Luther King legacy. And you know, we got to show up. We got to be on time. You know, when your name is called, you better be ready to ride.
Exactly.
Just like his daddy did.
Yep. And like you said, it's in great hands because they could do this forever because this is what you guys do. And you're not only just the rodeos themselves. Weren't you doing some projects, Liz, where you're getting some books or things with some students where they can learn more about rodeo and the Cowboys of Color?
Yeah. You know, the other part, the rodeo season for us used to be just in the summer, basically. We would start with the Dallas in May, and then we would go to to Austin and then San Antonio and Houston, Oklahoma City, and then Tulsa. And then we had a Tulsa. And we kind of did that, you know, May through basically September. And then in the later years, you know, obviously up and down, economics are up and down. We've had to drop out some of those rodeos. But then we've always done Dallas. We always do Fort Worth. And then during COVID, the state fair came to us and said, would you do the rodeo at the state fair? Well, you know, a million people, you can't turn down doing a rodeo.
Exactly.
At the state fair. And the rodeo did so well. Now they have multiple rodeos during the state fair. So they started with Cowboys of Color. It went well. We did a couple of seasons again with Prairie View A&M with the game, you know, it was a great game between Grambling and Prairie View. This every year. And then they moved us to Texas OU weekend because they wanted to bring these other rodeos in. And they knew that our rodeo would do well no matter what, you know, basically because of our long-term reputation. And that's, again, because we got great media coverage over the years. Everybody wants to be a cowboy. Even if they don't want to do it every day, every once in a while they want to dress up. And it doesn't matter if you're a boy or a girl, male or female. But, you know, you want to get your cowboy on, you want to go and strut your stuff and, you know, see and be seen. And so, you know, it's a wonderful lifestyle. And that's the reason I stayed in it all these years. You know, Chris. I've been in it 35 years with Cleo, and I started in 92, so I didn't get here quite as, you know, early as the rest of the team, but...
Hey, but you're a big part of the team. You're like the heartbeat of the team. And again, it's in great hands. And Cleo has a great legacy, a Hall of Famer himself. Where can people find out more information about the Cowboys of Color Rodeo if they want to go to one or be involved or just hear some of the legacy?
Well, so the next rodeo will be in Fort Worth, like I say, on January 18th. That'll be Martin Luther King Day. That's a Monday afternoon. You can always go to Cowboys of Color Rodeo, RODEO.com, Cowboys of Color Rodeo.com. We'll have the schedule there. We've got the history there. We've got lots of photos, photo gallery, and things to see. But as you know, you can just Google Cleo Hearn, and all of his coverage is going to come up. I mean, the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal, BBC Radio, million listeners. You know, we talked with them, living legend, but the National Cowboy Museum in Oklahoma City, the Texas Cowboy Museum over in Fort Worth, the Lane Frost Award. You know, he had multiple things, multiple awards over the years. But what he loved the most was rodeo, his family, God. You know, those were the things that were most important to him. And he would say, if you have something to love and you have something that you're interested and passionate about, that, you know, there's go live your life. You
That's
know,
right. That's
and he
right.
lived the dream of being a cowboy. So you know, we're sad, obviously, but we can't be too sad because we know him and Kevin are up there organizing the rodeo in heaven right now.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Hey, Liz, thanks so much for being on the show today. And we want to thank you all for joining us on Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm Chris Arnold. So long, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.